The recording. Okay. Welcome everyone to today's Google Search Central SEO Office Hours Hangout. My name is John Mueller. I'm a search advocate here at Google in Switzerland. And part of what we do are these Office Hours Hangouts where people can join in and ask their questions around search, and we can try to find answers. A bunch of stuff was submitted already on YouTube, so we have a lot of stuff to go through there. But we also have some people already with their hands up, so let's start off there. Let's see. Ashwani, I think you're first.
Yeah. Hi, John. Hi. How are you?
Pretty good.
OK. So, John, I have a question related to website, like code-based website. OK. So why, my question is, why code-based website rank like faster as compared to any other website? Still, they are using the same content. They are using similar content. If you are searching like Christmas-based code or New Year-based code, so what you find, each and every website have the same content, but still they are ranking on the top position. Why?
What kind of website did you say these were?
Code-based code, like New Year code, December-based code-based.
I don't understand what you mean with code-based.
If suppose you are searching for like someone is searching for life-based, related to their lifestyle-based code, related to motivational code, like that.
Oh, like quotes, like
yeah,
piece of
quotes.
Text. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I totally misunderstood you. I thought you meant code, like software code or something.
No, thank you.
Like quotes. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a very tricky area if your whole website is just purely based on quotes, because these are small snippets of information. They're usually essentially public domain, so anyone can include the same information on their own website. So it's like very competitive. It's easy for people to just take a database of quotes and put them online. And it's I don't think there's like one simple trick to make a quote-based website rank. Instead, I think it's overall probably a tricky area to try to get a new website to appear, because it's just like it's the same content as everyone else has. So if you want to stand out, you really need to do something different rather than just the same quotes and essentially like different categorization perhaps.
Okay, but what I found on internet, when I surfing the internet, what I found is like 2-3 websites have the same content. Still, they are managed to rank on the first, second, and third position. So my question is, why Google is like giving a rank to all those three? And if Google is giving ranking, Google is giving the position, so why Google are not penalizing all website based on who have published the first content, who is the first owner of the content? So why Google are not doing these things? Why Google always try to like focus on the service based and product based website, not on the code based website?
I mean, on the one hand, it's not the same page for us. Like if it's a quote, it's like a one or two lines of text, but on a web page, you have a lot more information on there. So from our point of view, it makes sense to rank those pages separately. So that's something that we would essentially see as like it's normal. And with regards to penalizing these websites, if this is public information, then anyone can publish it. It's not that like the first person to say this quote is the only person to appear in search, because usually the quotes are from authors who have written something long ago. And it's definitely not the case that the person running the website made up this quote, but rather someone else did. So even if we were to say like the first person to say this quote is the one who should rank, I don't think that would be like the average quote-based website.
Okay, understood. And my second question is, and the last, this one is last, related to international targeting. Okay, so I am doing international targeting for basically pharmaceutical industry. Okay, so what I did, I basically targeting language, not country. I'm targeting language. So now my question is, if I want to target country plus language as well, means country plus language, so I have to insert inside the hreflang code, I have to mention language plus country code, right?
Yes.
Now what should I do inside the Google search console if I am targeting multiple countries? Like if suppose I'm targeting 10 countries, now how should I make understand to the console that I am targeting these 10 countries? Because console is at one time, console is only supporting only one country.
Yeah. So if you want to do geo-targeting, you have to use either subdomains or subdirectories per country. And then you add those subdomains or subdirectories to Search Console separately.
I already did that.
Yeah, but if once you have them added separately, and if these are generic top-level domains, you can set the geo-targeting individually. So it's like your website.com/fr for France, and then you add that to Search Console. And in Search Console, in the geo-targeting section, then you can say, this website is for France. If you don't have a country, if you have a like a country code top-level domain, like .in or .uk or something, then you can't do geo-targeting.
OK. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Sure. Baruch.
John, again, it's so good to be here. I miss all the Hangouts from last year. But I have a very important question. And it's something that I haven't seen you talk about at all because it's just very fresh. So I want to know, again, not from a ranking factor perspective, what is going to happen with the new CSS property that you guys just recently integrated to Chrome only browser? So the new CSS property that I can implement to render content better.
I don't know which one you mean.
It's the content visibility property that was just integrated recently.
Okay, I doubt we do anything with it in search.
So. Okay, I mean, because it's all about improving load time and so on. So I just wanted to know, moving forward, how important it's going to be to implement it into your site, because a lot of developers are having issues, and SEOs, they work together, they're having a lot of issues with CSS and JavaScript. Those are the two issues.
I don't think we would do anything special with like new CSS properties or new HTML tags, things like that in search. There are two places where it could come into play. On the one hand, when we render the pages, because we use a modern Chrome browser, that right. could be something that plays in. But if it's CSS, then it's about kind of the HTML is already loaded, and the HTML is what we would take into account for indexing. And it's just a matter of maybe shifting things around on the page with the layout. So from a rendering point of view, I don't see a new CSS property changing anything. It would be essentially like we would still index the content normally. The other thing that you kind of suggested is with regards to speed. If it is something that affects the speed that users see the content in, then that could play a role with regards to Core Web Vitals. Because for Core Web Vitals, we use essentially the speed that users see, the field data. And if users are using a modern version of Chrome and they're seeing pages load faster because the pages are implementing HTML in a better way and CSS and JavaScript or whatever, then that's something that will be reflected in the field data over time. And we could take that into account through the Core Web Vitals.
Right.
So that kind of, I guess, more indirect effect is something you might see. Whether that has a noticeable effect on most websites with regards to the Core Web Vitals, I don't know. That's something I'm guessing it does have some effect. Otherwise, the Chrome team wouldn't have worked on it. But I don't know how strong the effect would be for the average website.
Baba would appreciate calculating and doing all the calculations. It's just going to be better for Googlebot to understand and implementing that.
Now, I don't think for Googlebot it changes anything. What I would do is, if you're working together with a developer and you think this property might make sense or some other new HTML property, implement it on a test page and test the page with the lab testing tools before and after. And then you can see, like, does it really make a big difference here? And if it does make a big difference, then maybe it's worthwhile implementing broader. If it's a small difference, then it's like, well, it was an interesting test, but probably not worthwhile to implement across the whole site.
OK. Thank you so much.
Sure. Alistair.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi. Pretty good.
Good. Thanks for doing this again. I've got quite a few questions, which I'll get through as quickly as possible. The first, which I'll show you on the screen. Can you see the screen OK?
Not really, but
okay.
I
was just wondering, and I think you've spoken about this before recently, that you know, the content, the main content should be sort of above the fold. Would this like lead generation form impact SEO in any way? Because if we scroll down, it's the an article about the Ultimate Guide to Phone System Prices. And at the top here, there's just a sort of a lead gen form where people can compare telephone system prices. Would that impact SEO?
I don't know. My guess is probably not noticeably. What effect might come into play is our algorithms do look for things like ads above the fold that kind of push the main content down below the fold. And it's possible that we would think a lead gen form like that would be kind of like an ad. But I don't think it would always be the case. And it kind of also depends on what that page is trying to rank for. If it's essentially a page that's trying to rank for, it's like, I don't know, get car insurance, and the form is about like sign up for car insurance, then like that's kind of the intent of the page. But if the intent of the page is like find out more about why oranges grow, and then you have car insurance form on top, then that seems more like an ad.
OK, that makes sense. Thank you. So it's the relevance of yeah. I guess, the lead gen form. And also with the images, and I don't know if this would impact SEO at all, but so I guess it's based on maybe your opinion as well. But do you think that we shouldn't include images at the top of the article? Do you think we should just have like the introduction to begin with, and then?
I don't think it matters that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
I don't think even for image search that would be like a big difference if you were looking at image search.
Got it. Brilliant. And what does nofollow mean in terms of, and what I mean by that is like does it count as a hint, for example?
We use nofollow so what we try to do with nofollow is essentially stop the passing of signals for that. But what can happen is that we will still discover the page that you're linking to, and we might crawl and index that separately. So for example, a common setup is you use, not really common, but it happens every now and then. People sometimes use internal nofollow links to point at a specific page within their website. And they expect that internal page not to show up in search because it's only linked with a nofollow link. But from our point of view, if we discover that URL and we can crawl it and index it, then we might still index it independently.
OK, thanks. And what's your advice with building links? Because obviously we can create great content, and then we can send that across to other other sort of like relevant websites and ask them to, I guess, check it out and link to it if they want to. What's your advice if like we gave you like 100 grand and you weren't working with Google? Like, what would be the strategy that you would do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's always tricky to try to simplify it into one quick like answer type thing, because then people try to take it out of context and like say, oh, John said we should do this, and therefore we're going off and doing it in mass now. I think kind of the approach of creating good content and spreading the word about that content, finding people who are maybe influential, who are interested in that topic, who might want to write about it, I think all of that is fine. What is problematic is if you go off and like create those links yourself. So if like you go off and just buy guest posts or you buy links directly on other people's sites, from our point of view, that would be problematic. And essentially, when it comes to web spam, if someone from the web spam team looks at something and they look at a website and overall it seems like, well, there's like a wide variety of, I don't know, different kinds of links here, and some of them, like, you don't really know if there's like a weird story behind it where they might be kind of questionable, but there's enough out there that's also reasonable, then usually the web spam team will say, well, we'll let the algorithms take care of it. But if they look at it and they see like all of these links are essentially things that look quite a lot like guest posts, even though they're not labeled like guest posts, then that might be something that they would take action on. So essentially, when it comes to links, on the one hand, like creating really good content is definitely the first step, but it's also not the only thing. Like, just having good content is not going to make your site pop up in Google search. We do take things into account, like links, but lots of other factors as well. But really kind of spreading the word out and trying to get, I don't know, contacts who are interested in the kind of content that you create and encouraging them to, I don't know, maybe link out or at least check out your content as well. And that can be all kinds of people. Like, you could, for example, also just run a newsletter and just include the newest pages that you have, things like that.
Fantastic. Thank you for going into detail there. And final question, which everyone will be glad about, and that is there a PDF version of the Webmaster Guidelines like there is for the Quality Rater Guidelines?
I don't think so. I don't know. Might be an interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading on a computer. Tricky for like I'm trembling like a semi defrosted mackerel. So, thank you very much and have a lovely day.
Thanks, you too. All right, let's see, Omar.
Hi, John. Can you guys hear me well?
Yes.
Perfect. Great. So, we are a very young startup that just started here in Germany. And basically what we do is that we crawl leading real estate platforms and we try and assess which realtor is actually achieving higher prices, which realtor is achieving fast sales duration. And so we have for each postal code in Germany, we have one specific page for that postal code, which includes or like which calculates to 28,000 pages, which is not that huge for other websites. But we're facing challenges in indexing those sites. So our goal is that someone that typing in realtor Munich, that our page with the ranking of the best agents in that region will pop up. But currently we see that 90% of our pages is excluded from the index. And I've read a lot about it. And you also are talking about how the content might be similar or that the content is not super interesting for the users. And my question to you is how to solve this. So how to get ranked when someone gets or types in, hey, I want to search for a realtor in that location, because it's super crucial for him, but the bot might not understand that. So yeah, super excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that come into play. On the one hand, from the quality side, that's something that I think you almost need to figure out before you push too far, in the sense that it's sometimes easy to create these backends that analyze a lot of data and spit out some metrics for individual locations and maybe make some lists based on existing things. But you really need to make sure that these are also useful pages for people. So it's not just like a recompilation of data that's already out there. So I don't know, for example, if you take a city and they have 10 realtors and it's essentially the same 10 that are in the phone book, then it's hard to say that your compilation is providing something of unique value. So really kind of making sure that the content that you're publishing is something that is really high quality and useful. I think that's almost like the first step, because that kind of helps to grow your website over time.
But how would you indicate that? Sorry to interrupt you.
How do you?
Because we are pretty sure that this is pretty unique content all over Germany, might be all over the world. And that's why it's very analytical. I also posted like a example of a page in the link in the below, but we have a hard time knowing how to really, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something where you almost need to do something like user studies to figure out what is the best UX for these kind of pages, what kind of information do people need, what ways can you provide kind of assurance that the content is correct, that you're not skewed by, I don't know, payments or whatever, that it's really trustworthy content, essentially. But that's something which is, from our point of view, almost like a requirement for the next steps, because it is possible to get a lot of pages indexed in like using different ways. But if we recognize that you have a large website and we think that the content overall is low quality, then you almost have a bigger problem kind of in telling Google kind of like, hey, we improved the quality of our pages. Whereas if you start off with like really high quality content, then it's more a matter of the challenge of, well, how do I get more of my pages indexed over time? So that's kind of the first thing I would do. And with regards to indexing more pages over time, that's usually something that happens automatically as we recognize that your website is really valuable and really important. And that's something that it just takes time. And one of the strategies I try to, I don't know, encourage people or tell people to think about is, on the one hand, you can decide what kind of pages you think are important within your website and which ones you want Google to focus on through internal linking and kind of working to make sure that, like, if you say 90% are currently not indexed and 10% is indexed, that you make sure that at least the 10% that are indexed are really good pages and really important pages for you, so that like you get a mass of people already going to these pages and saying, this is fantastic content. Maybe they recommend it to other people. Maybe they link to it from other places. But at least that 10% that you start with is something that you can kind of grow with. And then over time, what you'll see is Google crawls more and more of your website as it recognizes that it's really good and important. And that can then result in, well, on the one hand, crawling more frequently the existing pages. On the other hand, crawling deeper within your website. So kind of like more layers within the internal linking and digging in a little bit deeper. So that's something that essentially kind of happens over time algorithmically. And it's something where it's sometimes tricky, especially with a website like I'm guessing yours is, to create an internal linking structure in the beginning that focuses on things that you find important, because it's very easy to say, well, I will just list all my postal codes in numerical order, and Google will crawl and index all of these pages. But maybe the first 10% of those pages that you have linked there are irrelevant for your business or very low value for your website. So it's almost like you have to create a more funneled web structure in the beginning. And then over time, as you see that Google is doing more and more on your website, then expand that and expand that step by step until you've reached kind of your end situation where Google is actually actively indexing all of the content on your website.
OK, great. So summary, I try to nail down my content on the pieces of pages that Google already indexed. And from there, try to then grow my website by doing internet linking properly and showing Google that this content is unique, this content is valuable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, first of all, I would really, really focus on the quality. And especially if it's in kind of a almost machine-generated website, you really need to make sure that everything is such that it's not only the correct numbers, kind of like for, I don't know, analytical people who look at the pages, but it's also something that the average user thinks is trustworthy and useful. And also, I would not focus on the pages that Google currently has indexed, but rather look at your site overall and say, it's like 10% is what I have as a budget, and which of my 10% of the pages do I want to have indexed? And then almost like twist it around in that direction.
OK, perfect. Thanks a lot, John.
Sure. OK, let me run through some of the submitted questions, and then I'll get back to more of you here as well. Lots of people raising your hands. So good. And I'll probably have more time afterwards as well to keep going. We'll see how far we can make it. Let's see. The first question I have on the submitted list is, what's the best practice when dealing with affiliate backlinks? We've sent the guidelines that the link should be nofollowed and sponsored, but not all sites respect them or even have knowledge. Would disallowing Googlebot from crawling those affiliate parameters help or hurt in any way? Do we need to disavow those links? And it sounds like your website where other people link to as affiliates. And from our point of view, we kind of understand that you can't get everyone to do the right thing with regards to affiliate links. But we really want to make sure that at least the things that that you're publishing or you're saying on your side matches what our guidelines are saying. So it sounds like you've sent the guidelines that people should be using nofollow. And maybe, I don't know, part of your users or people linking to you are following those guidelines. And from my point of view, I think that's fine. With regards to disallowing crawling of the affiliate parameters, I think that's a bad idea because that will result in those pages being indexed without any content. What you could do, I don't know. I think the best approach is almost really just to focus on normal canonicalization for something like that. But that wouldn't affect how kind of the value of those links is being passed on. What I've seen some sites do is set up almost like an affiliate domain that is separate, that is blocked from crawling and indexing, or just blocked from crawling, and then redirects to your actual website. I think for really large-scale affiliate sites, that can make sense. But for the average website, that's probably overkill and not something to worry about. Regarding disavowing these links, usually that's really kind of hard to do if it's just like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30% of your of the people linking to you are not following your I don't know, recommendations. Kind of keeping track of that, I think, is almost too much work. So in short, I think if you're giving the right recommendations, if a significant part of your users are following those recommendations, then I think you should be fine. I don't think you need to do anything special past that. We embed YouTube videos on our website. However, these significantly slow down our page loading times, according to PageSpeed Insights. Embedded MP4 videos do not slow down the page loading time at all. Therefore, for SEO, is it better to embed MP4 videos? I don't know. At least from kind of the normal ranking and search crawling indexing ranking point of view, I don't think it makes sense to like switch to a different video format just because of SEO reasons. If you're looking at speed, obviously there are different ways of embedding videos. videos. And that can be different formats of videos. That can be different ways of embedding the existing videos. And in particular, when it comes to YouTube, there are ways to embed videos that use a kind of lazy loading, where you show, for example, a placeholder image. And if someone clicks on it, then it activates the video itself. And if you set that up, then I think you should be able to set these pages up so that they actually load pretty quickly. I also know the YouTube team is working on improving the default embed as well. So maybe over time that will improve. But at least until then, I would look into different ways to just embed the same videos. And if you decide to host these videos yourselves and just to put the MP4 files directly on your site, that's also fine. That's perfectly acceptable, up to you. When it comes to videos, the thing I might watch out for is that Google is able to recognize the video metadata for these things. And with normal YouTube embeds, usually we can pull that out fairly well. If you're embedding these yourselves or using a kind of a custom player to embed the videos, then I would double check that you have the structured data for videos appropriately on your pages as well. Hosting and crawling. Does my hosting with like shared hosting, VPS, et cetera, affect crawling efficiency? No. By default, the type of hosting you have does not affect the efficiency or the amount of crawling that we can do. However, you can have bad hosting or slow hosting, and all kinds of hosting can be slow. So that's something where it's not a kind of an attribute of a specific kind of hosting, but rather it's like, well, your hosting is slow, and you happen to be using shared hosting, or you happen to be using a VPS, or you happen to be hosting on, I don't know, a separate infrastructure in some data center. If it's slow, it's slow. If it's fast, it's fast. It's not an attribute of the kind of hosting that you have. We have a new e-commerce store with lots of different variants and search queries for products. For example, we sell diamond cutting discs. These have search queries like diamond cutting disc for tiles, wood, concrete. Our competitors are ranked with own categories for these products. We use filter pages, which are optimized and are also indexable, but the filter pages don't get ranked or don't get indexed. So should I create hundreds of unuseful subcategories instead? So I think, first of all, one important aspect here is that we don't try to recognize the difference between different category pages or filter pages or search pages. Essentially, we see all of these pages as being equivalent. And it's more a matter of the kind of content that you're providing there. So it's kind of similar to, in the past, we would get questions like, if I do a blog post, if I set up a separate page for a piece of content, does Google treat that differently? And again, it's not we don't treat kind of like the semantic thing that you have set up on your side separately, but rather we recognize on this page there are lots of products that are linked here, and there's information about this kind of product on this page, and we'll take that into account. And it doesn't matter for us if this is a category page, a search page, a tag page, a filter page. Essentially, it's one URL that has this kind of information on it. So from that point of view, I don't think you artificially need to create something special on your website. But rather, if you're trying to get these kind of pages to appear in search, you just need to make sure, need to make sure that you have the right amount of useful information on these pages so that when we look at these pages, we can recognize, oh, here's some information about the type of page that it is. Here's a clean heading on this page. Maybe there's a subheading there as well. Maybe there are links for additional context. And there's a list of products that we can follow and also go off and crawl and index. And that's essentially what we'd be looking for. And if you're seeing that none of these pages on your site are being crawled or indexed, then the first thing I would look into is kind of the technical side of things. Is crawling or indexing of these pages blocked somehow? Is there a canonical setup? Is there no index perhaps set up by your shop system? All of those kind of things. But if you're seeing that some of these pages are being indexed and ranking, but not all of them, then I assume from a technical point of view, they're fine. And it's more a matter of, well, we don't know enough about these pages to actually go off and crawl and index them. So you could do things like look at your internal linking structure and see what you can do to make it so that we can find those pages a little bit easier. And that could be something like on your home page, you list a section of popular categories or popular kinds of products, and then you link to those pages directly. Or maybe you do occasional blog posts with information about a specific kind of product. And then from there, you link to that kind of product page on your side, which could be like a filter page. It could be a category page, whatever you want to do. I've been waiting for my pages to get crawled for more than 1 month. I've tried to improve my overall pages outside of those non-crawled pages. What would your advice be to improve crawling on a website? It's really hard to say without knowing the website itself. Usually, this is something that falls roughly into the category of crawl budget, not in the sense that it's like a problem for a website. But essentially, there are two sides that are always at play there. On the one hand, the capacity for crawling, like how much can Google crawl? If this is a very small website, then probably we can crawl everything. And then there's a crawl demand. How much does Google want to crawl? And the crawl demand is something that you can help us with things like internal linking to let us know about your relative importance of pages, but also something that we can pick up over time by recognizing, well, there's a lot of really good and important content here. So we should perhaps be investing more time in more crawling here. If you're looking at a bunch of pages that you've created and they're just not being indexed, my hunch is that maybe you're creating too many pages. And you should be focusing on fewer pages and making sure that they're better first. And then at some point, when you realize that the pages that you create, they actually get indexed fairly quickly, then go off and create more pages. So first, improve the quality. And then as a second step, go off and kind of like grow your website step by step. We've noticed that about 3 weeks ago, some of the URLs from our website moved to the excluded section in Search Console. I checked them with the inspection tool. They're indexed in Google. No changes have been made, but they're still listed as crawled, currently not indexed. I thought they will move to a valid section in about a week, but it doesn't work. So is there kind of a bug in Search Console, or should we be worried about it? I don't know. I'm not aware of anything specific happening here. So if you see this, or if you can send me some examples or post some examples on Twitter where I can take a look together with the team, I'm happy to see what we can figure out there. Sometimes there is a little bit of a difference when it comes to different data centers, that it might be indexed in one data center and not in the others. And maybe the reporting kind of gets a bit confused by that. But usually that settles down after a while. So if you're seeing this regularly happening, and especially kind of like growing over time, then it feels like something where it would be good to send some examples to us so that we can double check if this is actually a problem, either in Search Console or in indexing, or maybe it's just, I don't know, our systems are a bit confused with your website at the moment.
John, I sent you that thing long time ago, that issue. It seems okay on the Bing side, actually very well. But then on the Google side, I'm still seeing those location issues. Do you mind having a look at that again?
That's also with like crawled, not indexed, or?
Yeah, the one that's not showing up, the homepage is nowhere to be found. And okay. Yeah, I've looked at everything like in terms of, so. There's probably a technical issue there.
Okay, I can double check. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. If MIDI URLs are not configured according to best practices, so no hyphens between words, vague descriptions, underscores instead of hyphens, is it better to leave them as is, to change them all at once, change them one or two a week, or something else? So from my point of view, the effect of the URL structure, or kind of the way that you put things into the URL is so tiny that it's almost not worthwhile to go off and make bigger changes across a website just because of that. So my recommendation there would generally be to just leave them be and maybe set up a document somewhere with things that you would like to do if you do a bigger revamp. And at some point, maybe a few years down the line, you decide to do a bigger revamp of your website, then take that list out. And like, if you notice, like, well, you should be doing different URLs, then maybe at that point go off and include that and change that there as well. I think in general, if you go off and change the URL structure across a website in a large way, then you create a lot of fluctuations for, I don't know, a couple of months. And in the end, the result will likely be exactly the same as before. So you kind of have that long period where things are worse. And then in the end, you have the same result in the end. And I don't think that's worthwhile. Whereas if you go off and do a bigger revamp of your website anyway, where things will be confusing and worse anyway in between, then you might as well clean that up as well and improve that. Or if you're creating a new website, then it's obviously something to take into account. And you don't have kind of fluctuations associated with that. You're basically just doing kind of the best practices from the start. So that would be kind of my direction there. Why does the homepage of a website show higher in the search results than pages that are more closely related to the search term? For example, a local photographer might want their book a photo shoot in Chicago page to be higher for a term that matches that title. I get this question every now and then. I think in general, this is a good problem to have because it means that your website is already ranking fairly well for these kinds of queries. So that's kind of like as a first step, I think you've probably already done a lot of things really well. The main issue that our systems run across here is we don't understand the relative importance within your website for these kind of terms as well. So essentially, what we see is perhaps your homepage is a very strong page, and it also includes things like photo shoot in Chicago on the homepage. And we say, well, homepage is like a good match for this query. And we might recognize the individual page as well. And we might know like there's also something good here. But we don't really understand that that individual page is something that is so much better and much, much more important for these individual queries. So that's something where sometimes with internal linking, you can help to improve that. Sometimes with improved kind of quality across the pages or more focused information on these pages, you can help to improve that. Essentially, it's something where like we know your website already covers this topic, and it's more a matter of, well, how can you tell Google which of your pages is the best suited for that? And I think with the homepage, it's always kind of tricky because the homepage is usually one of the stronger pages of the website. So almost taking that focus away from the homepage is sometimes a bit tricky. I have a question related to passage ranking. If Google Search is using a certain passage of a page, would there be a way that Google Search could link directly to that passage? For example, if the passage is an anchor link like this one, I took a look at that URL and I wasn't really able to see like what you were trying to show there. So I'm not quite sure in that regard. With regards to passage ranking in general, that's kind of one of the things that we've started doing to try to understand on a much longer page which has kind of several unique almost like parts of a page within the same page to understand that the page itself can be relevant to specific parts of the content. So it's not so much that we would pull out like one sentence of this page and then just rank that higher or show that differently, but rather we essentially take a really long page. And usually these are pages that are not super SEO optimized, if you want. And it has like different intents almost on the same page. And we recognize, oh, this one section on the bottom is actually very relevant and almost like a unique article that we can show in search. And then the passage ranking system essentially says, well, there's lots of stuff on this page that is not relevant, but this one part is super relevant, and then we will rank this page because of that one part. So that's something where it's more a matter of ranking the page rather than pointing out a specific part of a page. But at the same time, we do try to understand things like anchors within a page as well. So it's like you have this the hash editorial part at the end of your URL, which I assume could point to a different part of the page. And we do try to understand that. We sometimes include that in site links when we show the page itself. And the other aspect is sometimes we take things that we show in a featured snippet and also link to that directly on the page, which we can do with some new HTML API where essentially you add something to URL where it goes to that specific text segment of the page. But kind of that jumping to that part of the page, that is essentially separate from passage ranking. So in short, I don't really have a great answer for you other than that perhaps this helped to explain like what passage ranking is. But kind of the jumping to a specific part of a page, that's something that is almost like if we can figure it out, we'll try to do that. But it's not something that we will automatically do just because it's there on a page. I have a client who created a new service page for kitchen and bathroom remodeling, two very different pages, different from any other service pages on the site. I requested crawling a few times over the past month, but these are not being indexed. When I inspect the live page, everything is good. When I request crawling, no problem. But it isn't being crawled, and the dates in Search Console reflect that. Any ideas? I don't know. It's super hard to say just based on this description. It almost sounds like something where I would need some sample URLs. It sounds like it's a fairly small website, and there are two new pages on there. And usually with small websites and just a handful of pages that are added, that's something we can pick up fairly quickly. So it feels a little weird that this would not be happening that quickly. I think one of the things to watch out for is to make sure that the internal linking is really well done on the site. So if it's something new, make sure that it's linked from your home page or from some other important page on your website. It's really kind of hard to say what exactly might be happening here. It feels like something where if you could ping me some examples on Twitter or somewhere else, then that would be useful for me to double check. And maybe one more quickly. Any idea how to rank organically in a market where competition is very high with high page authority sites? For example, how to rank for Tom Ford jeans or Nike shoes, Model X. Is there any chance to rank in these competitive markets, or should we just pay for ads? Obviously, there's a way to rank for these competitive markets because other people are doing it. But if it's a very competitive market, there are other very smart people that are working on the same problem. And if there were this one simple trick to rank very high in a competitive area, then everyone would be doing that. And then that one simple trick would not work anymore. So this is something where, yes, it's possible. But if you're starting off with a new website, it's going to be very, very hard because other people have been working on this for literally decades, trying to get their pages in there. And you almost need to get it to that level first. So should you just go buy ads? I suspect buying ads for a lot of these very competitive areas are also going to be very expensive. So my recommendation here is, it sounds a lot like you're kind of starting out on the web and trying different things out. And maybe there's like, I don't know, good affiliate income that's possible for some of these competitive terms, because of course, like the companies want to sell their products. And my recommendation there is if you're starting out, try to find something that's less competitive. Try to find something where you can try things out and you can see a little bit of success step by step and over time kind of grow that. and not jump in and try to do the most competitive thing ever and try to sell, I don't know, car insurance or pharmaceuticals or sports shoes in a very competitive market, but rather like find something small and grow from that. Cool, okay, lots of people still raising their hands. Let me just start top and see how far we can go. Luis.
Hey, John, sorry, I have everything off. Thank you for having me. Just a quick question. I work for a network of 20 orthopedic doctors located throughout the United States, and they are all under the same umbrella and provide the same exact services. Aside from being located in different cities and having different doctors, there are no difference in their practices. So would there be an issue if we use the same content when building their websites and only optimizing for the location? So for example, we have multiple websites and each website has an elbow surgery page. And it has the same content, exact same content, except for like, instead of saying elbow surgery in New York, it says elbow surgery Houston. Is there an issue with that, or should we do something more or a little more customization? Because we do the customization for the homepage and for the About Us page and for a lot of other pages, but like since it's so many other pages, so many specific services, it's money and time that is going towards the content.
No, I think it's something where you almost need to think about kind of the competitive area as well. And think about like what people would be searching for. If people are searching for elbow surgery in general and they want information, then maybe it makes more sense to have a general elbow surgery page and on the bottom have some kind of dynamic element that says it's like our office nearby you is this, or kind of the different addresses listed there. Whereas if people are searching for elbow surgery in New York, then maybe it does make sense to have a unique page for elbow surgery in New York. And it, especially with regards to kind of the more competitive markets and competitive kinds of content, I would really try to figure out a way to make sure that the content is actually unique and not just like taking blocks of text and shifting it around, but actually making sure that it is something that is unique in the sense that when our algorithms look at these different pages, that they don't say, well, 90% of the page is the same, therefore, we will just index one of these pages. And then suddenly, your elbow surgery Florida page is the one that is indexed and ranking, and the New York page is seen as a duplicate of that.
And just to be a little more specific, there are different websites, so they're not housed within one website. So is that still it still applies what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think that would still apply there. So that's something where I think if you want to create separate pages for this, I would just make sure that they're really unique, because it's something where you really want to make sure that Google's algorithms don't look at those pages and say, oh, it's pretty much the same thing as the other one that we've seen. And we will just like dupe eliminate one of them and make it easier for you, because our algorithms are kind of like saying, well, it's like we'll save you the hassle of having to crawl all of these pages. We'll just crawl one of them. But you probably want all of them crawled in index.
So, yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Sure. Cool. Jason.
Cool. Thanks, John. So this could be tangentially related to Omar's question earlier. I have a sneaking suspicion your answer is going to be either it depends or that's sort of a strategy decision, but I'm going to ask anyway. So previously, you've recommended like a pyramid site structure, right, in terms of navigation and menus and, you know, in terms of crawlability and in sort of the PageRank flow, I could definitely see how that would be beneficial. I built several sites myself that way. But my question is, could you see any advantages from an SEO standpoint to like a dynamic menu, which may change based on either like content relevance or maybe like user journeys that we've identified through analytics or something like that?
I think that makes sense. I mean, it's something where my My guess is when Google looks at these pages, the menu would essentially be static for Google, because like we wouldn't use cookies or anything like that. And so you wouldn't be able to recognize, oh, this user was here first and then went here and then went here. So from our point of view, we would look at that and say, well, like these are the links on this page. And they're essentially created in a dynamic way on your back end. But for us, it's still like, well, these are the links on this page. These are the links on that page. And we understand how kind of the connection there is. So that, from our point of view, would be perfectly fine. I think if there's something within your navigation that depends on how the user is navigating through your website and you need that reflected in search, then that's a little bit trickier, because obviously Google crawls without cookies, so we wouldn't kind of keep that trail for you.
Sure. Yeah. No. And for context, I'm not necessarily talking about personalization from that standpoint. I'm thinking like in terms of, you know, we've noticed in our analytics we have a key page view for you know, for a sale. So if we you know, take that page that is viewed before the sale and we link to the sale page, and there we go. We should naturally improve that. I don't necessarily mm-hmm. mean following a user with cookies or anything like that. And I mean, from kind of going back to the content relevance, you know, portion of the question, I mean, you know, yes, you know, from Googlebot's perspective, the content would be static, right? You'd visit the page, you'd see the same links one time versus another. In theory, unless we've added more content which we've deemed relevant. I mean, I guess Googlebot doesn't necessarily know all of the underlying markup that we have, you know, on server side to know what pages are more relevant to others. So in that sense, it could change. But yeah, I guess linking by relevance in a dynamic way on menus is kind of the SEO question I was trying to get at.
Yeah. I think that's also pretty common. So a lot of the blogs have that set up where you have related posts linked on the bottom, essentially. And that's essentially the same direction that you're talking about, where whatever on the back end is recognizing these are some keywords in the current blog post, and we have similar keywords in other blog posts, I'll link to them. And that works well for the user, and it also gives more context for Google when it crawls the web pages. So I think that's kind of a good approach.
Cool. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Nathan.
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
Yes.
OK, great. I had to switch to my phone because I kept getting disconnected. I work on a publisher website, and the content is gated. So that means that about 50% of the content is available without sign-in. What I noticed was that Google Search Console, when I view the crawled page, it shows the entire page, including the ungated content and the gated content. But when I go onto Google Search and I try to see if the entire page is indexed, it doesn't appear to be indexed. Do you have any ideas on how I can change that so that the entire page is indexed? Because it looks like other gated websites have their entire page indexed.
We have some guidance on that for, I forgot what the name is. Flexible sampling, essentially, is a name that we have for that, where essentially you can use structured data markup on these pages and let us know which parts of the page are gated and not. And you can then dynamically serve those pages to Googlebot slightly differently than you would to the average user. So that's kind of the general setup there. And that would mean if you use something like the URL inspection tool, you would see the full content together with this markup. And we would index those pages with that markup. Essentially, when a user goes to those pages, they would have kind of that gated or, limited access setup, essentially, from that point of view.
OK, so are you alluding to the paywall markup where in the CSS side, you essentially you have the schema calling out which classes in the CSS classes are the gated content. Is that what you're kind of alluding to?
Let me just double check.
That's the best I could find on that. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I think so we have this documented as flexible sampling and also as subscription and paywalled content from a structured data point of view. And I think that's the one that's where you specify the CSS CSS selectors, for the different types of content.
Okay. I think that does it. I'll look into that and get back to you if I don't see anything changing.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Fantastic. Okay. Let me take a break here with regards to the recording. I'll be around more, and there's like lots of hands still up, so we have stuff to go through. If you're watching this on YouTube, thanks for watching so far. If you'd like to join these in the future, we publish them in the event calendar on the Search Central site and in the community section on our YouTube channel. So you're welcome to jump in and ask your question live or post the question in the comments as well. All right, and with that, let me see if I can find out how to stop the recording.